You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
In this podcast, we focus on the championship champions Leeds United as we speak to our new correspondent, Andy Martin at FPO underscore tactician. We speak about Bielsa, what he's brought to the club and the system we can expect from this Leeds. We speak about Ayling versus Dallas and see if we can answer the 4.5 million debate between the two. Will any of the midfielders stand out as FPO options? And we ask if Rodrigo will finish the chances that Bamford so regularly missed. This is Planet FPL Correspondent Week, Episode 16.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. And for this week only, it revolves around all of our correspondents. Correspondence Week, James. We're into the final five. It feels like X Factor or something. Final five. We've got five more to go. Do you want to introduce today's correspondent?
What have we just done? Eliminated Liverpool, Man City from the race. I don't think that's going to work. This is definitely one of the ones I've been looking forward to the most. I've intentionally scheduled other people to record with after we record with Andy tonight, because I feel like this could go on for 3 hours, actually, because there's loads of stuff I obviously want to challenge him on. Introduce you to our new Leeds United correspondent, Andy Martin at FPL underscore tactician. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, James. Thanks for getting me on. It's a pleasure to be here. Can't wait.
Pleasure, mate. Me and you had this locked in. People don't know, but we had it locked in like a year ago that you was going to do this. So
I'm a week too late. I should have been last year, shouldn't I, really? But we managed to choke and let Tomo and Badger.
I didn't say that, mate. I didn't call you chokers. I didn't call you bottlers, mate. But at least, on a serious note, that tag's gone now.
Yeah.
And you're here. Just briefly, because I really want to get into the FPL detail for you. Just a little bit on the emotion of actually getting back after, 16 years. Fucking mad, mate.
Yeah, so long. I mean, going back 16 years, like a different lifetime ago. Like, I remember I was in Gran Canaria when we got relegated. Seeing Alan Smith on the pitch, being hugged by all the fans, and just seems another life away. Like, 16 years, so much has happened. And then to go up finally, I mean, you know what relief I had. It was more relief than happiness. Because I think it's different when you don't win it when you're playing. Because we won it when Huddersfield beat West Brom. And then it was just a relief. It just got to me. Like, I broke down, really, to be honest. It was finally back, like where I believe where we belong. So, very happy to get there.
Listen, a club of your size should not be outside the Premier League. Well, at least shouldn't be outside for 16 years.
Not for 16 years, so long.
It's mad. Talk about the manager a bit, because he's obviously got huge responsibility on this. And if you can finish off with that, what can we expect tactically?
Bielsa is just my hero, basically. I trust him with my life.
Steady.
He's such a nice guy, as well as being tactically astute in everything he does. So he's so precise in everything. He's known for sleeping at the ground. He's known for working 20 hours a day, watching videos. It's for him, it's just tactics and fitness to get him tuned in. He's got his own way of playing. I don't think he'll change that way of playing this season. He'll set up how he did in the Championship. He'll set up to get possession of the ball, to press. And he's all about winning the ball back and playing attacking direct football. So I don't think that will change.
At least the type of team that will play the way that we want to play, regardless of the opposition. Or do you think you're the type of team that changes formation and changes strategy depending on the opposition?
I mean, I don't know, because the Championship's different to the Premier League. It's a big step up. But I expect Bielsa just to carry on what he's been doing and what's worked well for him in the Championship. Like, we've been the best team in that division I think, for the last 2 years. I don't think he'd change it. He's worked too hard to get it right with his tactics. When we have the ball, it sets up as a 3-3-1-3 normally. Phillips will come and split the two centre-backs. And I think that will continue, and Phillips will just dominate the ball and get on the ball as much as possible. And people will see how good he is. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. So are we saying regular back three then, generally speaking?
No. I mean, Phillips will be defensive mid. But I think still we'll play the full-backs higher up on the halfway line. Defenders will split and Phillips will drop in to receive the ball from the keeper or the defenders, and he's the one to start off things, and he'll look to play forward, but he'll look to keep the ball first and foremost. And yeah.
So is that essentially one starting centre-half then?
No, it'd be two centre-halves.
Yeah. And who do you think they'll be to start with?
I don't think it'll be the new signing Cock or Coke.
Okay.
We'll go Cock. There's so many team names, isn't there? So
I can guarantee you one thing, Andy, that guy is going to be in Manchild's team, because the opportunity he gets to have a player in his squad with the name Cock, he's going to go for it straight away.
Yeah. I can definitely see Manchild doing that.
I bet he has fucking Bamford as well.
I think it's too early for Cock. I mean, Bielsa would like to work with him. So he signed him. He's gone off with the Germany squad. He's not going to have much time. So that's when it becomes difficult, because obviously people have asked me so much, Ayling v Dallas, who's better? Normally, if it was 38 games, you knew Dallas was playing left back, Ayling playing right back, I would just about favour Ayling, because I think he's more of a goal threat. But the fact that we're starting off, because I think Cox there to replace Ben White, who's now at Brighton. So I think that Ayling will probably go centre-back to start off with. And I don't know how long it will be before Cock gets in the team. So for me, Dallas, I'll probably get a bench in game week one, but then I'll have Dallas for game week two and three in my squad.
That's a massive question.
Because I think Dallas... Dallas can go right-back. So Ayling will go to probably centre-back with Cooper. Dallas will go right back, and probably Alioski left back. Slim chance of Douglas, but I wouldn't want to trust that at all.
Alioski's 4 million, and I take it you're saying that's short term.
Four and a half.
You're saying that's short term.
Alioski normally would be on the bench to come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think normally it would be Dallas left back, Ayling right, and then Cock and Cooper in the middle.
Okay. What about the keeper?
Meslier should get the... If we don't sign another keeper, which I don't think we will, I think Meslier's got it. I think it'll be unsavoury with the fans. It won't leave a good taste in the mouth if Kessié gets the number one jersey.
He's rubbish, isn't he, Kessié?
Yeah, he's not been great.
If I'm honest, really. Like he flaps at things and stuff like that, doesn't he? He makes rash mistakes.
I agree. And Meslier came in after lockdown.
Did well.
Took his place. Got, I think, 7 out of 10 clean sheets, maybe.
I think you can see 4 or 5 after the restart. Yeah. It's really good. And that's another thing that's obviously got people looking attention-wise on you defensively. Next to nobody is mentioning Meslier. Now, I don't know if that's because of Ayling and Dallas, people think, there's potential attacking returns there with those two. But he's just not in the conversation with Ryan's, McCarthy's. Even Rodak's getting mentions from Fulham now.
Yeah, but I kind of understand that, because if you're going 4.5 for a Leeds defensive asset, you want Dalis or Ayling. They're so attacking. Because they get so high up, Bielsa likes to overload the wide areas. So Ayling and Dallas will get right up the pitch, and they're so attacking. And I think that will continue in the Premier League. So do you take that 4.5 Leeds spot for Meslier over Dallas or Ayling? No, you don't, because you still get the clean sheet regardless. So I don't think Meslier will be outscoring Dallas or Ayling.
Okay. Very few people will double up on Leeds defence.
Yeah, they double up. It's hard to double up, yeah. I think one or the other. But start with Dallas, Ayling. I like him a lot.
If you had to pick one dead, Andy, for the whole team, for the whole season, pick one from the start, right, he's got to stay there all season. Which one would you pick?
It's just Ayling. Just about.
Think probably Dallas from the start, because Ayling will have to cover in centre-half, but a better longer-term choice is probably Ayling. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
All right. Noted. Some of us are thinking long-term here, Andy. That's the answer I wanted. Cheers, mate. I can go now. Carry on, boys.
I mean, a lot of times been asked that question, but I think, Ayling and Dallas, they're pretty well matched up. They both get forward. They're both attacking threat is good. I just think Ayling's got more of a goal threat than Dallas.
Okay. That's clear as mud. We like that, mate. I think the closer it gets, I've very much been of the opinion that I'm probably not going to start with any of your players because the truth is I didn't see enough of you last year. But it's getting to the stage now, and I blame the Irish wing back that's joined Tottenham has confused things for me, that I probably want an extra couple of 4.5 million defenders. And because of what you're saying and because of McCarthy and Ryan and stuff like that, I am beginning now to look into Leeds. And I think other people will be having that exact same decision between the two. And I think from what you're saying there, it looks like early wildcarders, Dallas, longer term thinkers, Ayling. That sounds like the answer to me.
Yeah, and I've looked at the 4.5 keepers. So I'm probably going to have two 4.5 keepers. Whether I rotate them or not, I'll probably just have two just in case. I think it's worth the extra 0.5. So out of the promoted teams, I'd rather have Rodak or Johnstone than Meslier because Ayling and Dallas is a better option, yeah.
They both got 8 attacking returns last year. So this is why it's a really difficult call as well.
I was just looking...
4 goals, 4 assists for Ayling. 5 goals, 3 assists for Dallas.
Yeah, at the moment, I've only got one 4.5 million defender and that's Charlie Taylor. So I wasn't really looking massively from an FPL point of view. I know the majority of the listeners to the show may not be playing Sky, but in Sky, they've been priced differently. Ayling is... 0.6 more than Dallas. I don't know if there's anything we can read into that, but they've priced him more expensive, so it makes me think leaning towards Ayling might be...
Worry about what Sky are doing. They know as much of what they're doing with the prices as FPL do, mate. So don't worry about it, like, honestly. You just take advantage when they get something wrong.
Yeah, I was a bit gutted with the fixtures when it came out.
And I think it's putting a lot of people off from just diving straight in. The fact you've got Liverpool and City inside the first four is tough. Even the two in the middle, Fulham, because you've got Sheffield United as well, which is obviously going to be difficult, the Fulham game takes on serious importance. I know you obviously played them during the restart period and you battered them at Elland Road, but
3-0.
Psychologically, might be a bit different now. So from Fulham's perspective, they've gone there before you got promoted and gone, well, we're playing away to the best team in the league if we get something great. Whereas now their mindset is, we need to try and get something out of this football match. So psychologically, it changes. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the same. I've said, Andy, that I think you'll bloody some noses and you'll win some games from nowhere that people don't expect.
Yeah, I believe that as well.
I think also you'll take some beatings you don't expect as well. Is that a fair comment? Where am I getting that idea from?
I mean, I don't think we'll get hammered or beating off anyone. I think we'll give everyone a good game. I think Liverpool game week one, I mean, I'm not going with Salah. It'd be hard to captain him anyway for me, first game back, and then I'd do that. But I think we'll give anyone a good game. Liverpool, City, it'd be nice to see how we do match up against them. I don't expect us to get battered. I obviously we're going to lose probably more than we win. I think that's fair. This is a step up, but I think we'll be comfortable. I think games like Fulham at home doesn't worry me, doesn't faze me. We played in the Championship. In my opinion, we're a better team than them. I'm happy to go to, beat the teams around us quite easily, I think.
All right, we'll come back onto where you think you finished. Let's move into midfield then. Tell us briefly about Calvin Phillips. You kind of mentioned about him dropping back in and the centre-half splitting. Mm. I've not seen a lot of him. He's in the England squad. How good is he, mate?
Oh, he's so good. And it's a bias for you, obviously, because I watch him week in, week out.
You bias never.
But I mean, I'm thankful he's got this call up for England. I think it'd be good if everyone can see how good he is because he gets on the ball. He's such a good long range passer. So Bielsa likes to switch the play a lot. Phillips can pick up the ball, ping a pass from deep. He's got a good engine. Never stops. But that's like all our midfield and all our players really. He's not an FPL asset. Because of he plays deep, he's not going to get that many attacking returns. But I've had a couple of people say to me that the Sky game, which I don't play, he's one to look out for because of his passing stats and crossfield balls, interceptions as well. He's key for that. So if we get counted, Phillips is there. He's so good at intercepting the ball and stopping everyone else play as well.
Which one of these midfielders does stand out then, potentially, from an FPL perspective?
It's awkward because we've been heavily linked to another Rodrigo De Paul.
Because one's another not attacking enough, right?
Midfielder. Well, yeah, double Rodrigo. So it is difficult. I really like Click. He's on penalties. 5.5 is a fair return. I mean, this season he didn't get too many attacking returns, but the previous season I think he got 10 goals and 9 assists. And he's one is kind of box to box, so he's going to be making the late runs 18 yards out. If a ball's cut back from the wide areas, you'll often find Click there with the other attacking mid. Maybe that's Hernandez or whoever. But Click's a decent price at 5.5. I think if there's a good run of fixtures, you can get Click in.
It's interesting to see that the pricing on these guys, James, like 5.5, you're in the same bracket as Saint-Maximin and Armstrong and what have you. I just feel like the safe option of tried and trusted in the Premier League is the way to start, and you can bring these guys in early, right?
Click is normally from central areas, yeah?
Yeah.
And who will play in the wide positions then, do you think?
I think they'll probably start with Harrison and Costa as the two wingers. But then if Rodrigo De Paul comes in, I think it probably would be Costa that misses out. So I wouldn't go with Costa.
Okay.
And also he's limited to minutes, I think, more than Harrison. Harrison, Bielsa really likes him. He's still on loan from Man City. He's got good pedigree about him.
There's an interesting story behind that with Harrison, because I didn't know this, and I bet Suj doesn't know this. He's Manchester City's player. And he's been on loan to Leeds for 3 years now.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's that all about?
I think they just want him back. I mean, he's played in the MLS. He's done good things. I think they're reluctant to get rid of him because...
Because they like stockpiling.
Yeah, exactly.
And then get as many money players on Messi. Loan, it's going to be...
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Who's on set pieces then? You mentioned clicks on penalties. What about kind of corners, free kicks? Is there one or two... of your midfielders or even fullbacks
They all chip in. I mean, Phillips can score a direct free kick. I mean, Phillips scored a wonder goal this season from about 30 yards out from the free kick. Hernandez can take corners, Click as well. So it's a mixed bag. Harrison, I mean, they're all set-piece takers. It's a mixed bag with that.
Right. Is he overpriced, Hernandez?
No, I think it's fair because he's the one... Where if he was playing every game, every minute, he's great at 6 million. I would really back him. He's been so good for us. Last season, he's player of the year for me. It's a bit much to see because he's 35, to see how many minutes he does get. Even during lockdown, Bielsa's kind of come on to play a half. He's done enough.
That high energy you play, I mean, it's striking that on the occasions that I've watched you, the incessant hunting to get the ball back in very high areas as soon as you lose the ball is really clear and obvious. The different danger this year, of course, is that teams on occasion will play through you better now. And heads can go a little bit and you are going to be playing at a faster tempo. Trust me. And I think the fact that he's 35, he's spot on, mate. I would worry about that. As good as he is technically, I'm pretty sure I owned him when he was at Swansea going back 6-7 years or so, and he was a good little FPL asset back then. But I'd really worry for him at that age playing the way you play more than anything.
Yeah.
Talk to us, what do we know about the front man, Andy, Rodrigo, and is it obvious that he comes in the team for Bamford? Is there any doubt about that?
Unfortunately for Bamford, it just hasn't worked with his finishing. We need someone more clinical. I think Rodrigo's faster, more skillful, probably a better finisher as well.
You're talking about him being more clinical in terms of Rodrigo. He wasn't prolific last season though, in La Liga.
No, I think he's. I mean, I don't know too much about him, but I think he's a striker that can, make others come into the game a bit more. So like, you can feed off him well, and that. And that's what Bamford was doing as well. So Bamford got criticised because he's missing big chances. But he was also there as like a target man to play off him and to get goals that way instead. So I think Rodrigo's there. I wouldn't necessarily get him in and wait and see how we play with him. Is he going to be one of the strikers up top that just tries to finish with it like a fox in the box? Or is he going to be a striker that kind of comes deep and feeds the wide men? And yeah, we'll see what happens with him.
Not under consideration for you, no?
No, again, I don't think he'll start the season. I think Bamford will start the season. I think Bielsa will get a couple of weeks to work with him as well. So it's a wait and see for that. It'd be good to see him. I think he's going to be starting up top instead of Bamford eventually.
But yeah, I think it's obvious he's been brought in to come into the team. But yeah, I agree. I wouldn't be looking to start with him. And I think you're actually spot on with your reasoning there. Is A, you need to see him. B, how your team adapts into the Premier League. It's different trying to score goals in our league. Yeah, he's well proven. He's played for Spain and stuff. Yeah, a lot of us saw him play and score quite well for Spain against England in the Nations League the other year. So we know he's a top level forward. He actually, don't take this the wrong way, he actually reminds me what I've seen of him a little bit of Soldado. And I don't know if that's just the link of where he's come from. I think he's far better technically. When I see him strike the ball, he strikes the ball beautifully. But he's got this poaching element about him that reminds me of Soldado as well. And to be honest, what happened with Soldado, he had a lot of off-the-field personal stuff, which was pretty traumatising when he joined. People don't really know that. It's one of the reasons it went really wrong for him. This fella looks like he's got more about him technically, though, I think.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he looks sharp, but that's, again, from clips that I've seen. So how he adapts to Premier League, because he's been there before as well. So he has been for Bolton when he was younger.
Was he?
He was at Bolton, yeah.
How'd he get on? Because I can't remember that, mate.
Badly, I think. I think it was like 10 years ago. He's definitely improved since then, but yeah. I think he played a couple of games for Bolton. 30?
Actually, he's quite old.
I think he's 30, yeah. So he's quite old. It's more... But if you got to trust Bielsa and his talent and his draw from who he can get in, so...
He's 29, James. Just pulled up his Wikipedia.
Thank
he's
you very 29. Much. Yeah, Wikipedia never lies.
29, okay.
I'd probably go to Google.
17 appearances.
It's when you look at Wikipedia, it says last updated 2016, mate.
Yeah, he was at Bolton in 2010-11, James.
Yeah, how many goals? I'm going for one.
I think it was one, yeah, I'm going one. He didn't score.
A bit less.
No, right, okay, cool. No, that doesn't matter. It's a long time ago.
It was only 17 appearances.
Are you concerned about goals at all, Andy? The only reason I mention that, because, again, what I've seen of you doesn't ever smell to me like that's going to be an issue, but I just look at the numbers, 16 goals less than the Norwich team that came up the year before.
It shouldn't have been that. Bamford missed it.
Well, I was going to say, you could look at it and go, Pukki got 14 more goals than Bamford, and that's the reason why. Is it just that?
It is just that. I mean, I think Bamford should have got about 10 more goals. I think he had 33 big chances. And XG, I think 24, 25, scored 16. And it seemed like every game, look at the stats, you think he's had 5 more shots, 2 on target, he's not scored again.
Is he a good player or is he just not scoring?
He's all right. He has developed under Bielsa. I think it's a bit unlucky, but a bit confidence as well. Went through stages where he hasn't got the quickest of mind, I don't think. So when it comes into him, he needs that second. And that's why I don't think he'd step up to the Premier League that well.
16 goals is not
No.
If you just looked at the numbers, if I didn't know anything about you and I just looked at the numbers, I go, well, Andy, Bamford scored 16 more goals than anybody else last year. That's the player I should be looking at, isn't it? Now, admittedly, obviously, you've bought Rodrigo. But I think a lot of people would just look at that. We joked about on another podcast we did about his ownership. Have you got his ownership numbers in front of you, Serge, at the moment?
No, but I will
Good man.
Up,
have a quick
I'll just say as well, like if we had Mitrovic instead of Bamford, I think Mitrovic would have scored 30 goals for Leeds last season.
Yeah, fair.
We get to the wide areas, you cross it in. Mitrovic would have been perfect.
The point I was making to Serge was, Serge said, that'll be every Leeds fan buying Bamford. And I said, no, mate, it won't be Leeds fans buying Bamford.
Because there's too many frustrations.
He's
at 7.7% ownership.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I just feel like with Bamford, he's been in and around the scene for so long now. We're talking 4 or 5 seasons. He's been out on loan here and there. He's done okay, but he's never really set the world alight to the extent that a Premier League club have wanted to take him back when he's been on loan, like Chelsea or whatever, or buy him. He's just, there are players that are fine in the Championship. They'll score 15 to 20 goals, but can't make that step up to the Premier League. Yeah. And I feel like he's going to be one of them because he's had time now and he's done it in the Championship, but yet no one's still kind of brought him into the Premier League. And there's plenty of teams that need a striker.
It's just that initial pace, like the acceleration from him, it's just not there. Like the initial sharpness is just a little bit off. And that's why I think he's struggling in the Premier League. He's a great Championship striker. He's good enough for any Championship team. But the step up to Premier League is, I think, be too much for him. And that's why we had to buy another striker. So,
no, that's fair. Where do you think you'll finish, Andy?
I think we'll finish 12th, 13th. That kind of area. Top of the bottom half.
I think that's reasonable. I mean, I had part expectations you was going to come on here and go 7th. So a little bit of reasonable tone sounds about right. I mean, listen, I think we know... The last 2 years, we've identified, certainly Wolves 2 years ago was obvious they were going to be the best.
Yeah.
And certainly Sid and I identified last year that we didn't think Sheffield United would do what they did, but we identified that we really didn't think they would go down pre-season because of the style and the way they play. And they obviously turned out to have a great season as well. So we've had 2 years in a row now where the best team that's come up has finished in the top half of the league. So I don't think you're incapable of doing that at all. I think... I've got a sneaky that consistency is going to be a problem for you. I just think because of the high energy, and once you have a couple of bad results, that high energy can be quite difficult to maintain. I think it's fair to say in Bielsa's first year, like quite suddenly you had a run of 4 or 5 games of bad results towards that end of the season where it became like a spiral or something mentally for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think we did run out of steam, definitely, end of last season. It was nice to have the break. Well, not nice for footballing terms, but nice to actually recharge the batteries, go again after lockdown, because we looked back to our best, how we would at the start of the season. Even before lockdown, we were kind of, you get to that point of, oh, I hope we don't blow it, I hope we don't run out of steam again. So to have the break to come back, I was confident after we beat Fulham, that was it really, yeah.
12th or 13th, I mean, it's ambitious. Yeah, I mean,
that'd
I just feel... A lot of the Clash of this Correspondence Week podcast we've done with teams that have been in and around either side of 10th have hoped for anywhere between 8th, 9th, all the way down to 12th, 13th. And it's going to be so congested. I mean,
there's
teams that I thought would struggle to get up there, like Everton, for example, have suddenly... Doucouré looks like he's joining at 25 million. If James comes in, Allen comes in, suddenly you're thinking, actually, you know what? They might be all right. If Newcastle pick up a couple of players, again, Palace picked up Eze. Southampton are having a great pre-season. It wouldn't surprise me if it's the most competitive from 8th down to 16th that it's been for a long time, like maybe 10, 15 points separating everybody, if not less.
Yeah.
Going to be very competitive.
I agree. I mean, teams have definitely improved, and Everton will improve. Brighton, Southampton,
yeah.
These kind of teams, these are the head-to-heads that you got to look at to try and get a result from, because the top four are going to be tough to beat, but the teams in and around and the teams at the bottom, like I think Fulham, West Brom, personally, aren't in our level. I know they came up with us, but for me, Leeds and Brentford are the best team last season, best two teams in the Championship. And by expected points as well, like we were expected to get 116 points in expected points. We got 93. I think Brentford are second in that. And Fulham were way down. So I'd put Fulham and West Brom down there. And then, yeah, it's awkward because the other teams are in and around the same area. And there's probably 10 teams in that could get that last spot.
I think it's a general consensus at the moment that the other two teams are really, really going to struggle. Is how it feels at the moment. Doesn't mean that there might not be good FPL assets with the likes of Mitrovic and Pereira. I mean, would you prefer Pereira, for example, Andy, to any of your midfield assets, just out of interest?
I just don't trust West Brom at all. Yeah, if I mean, Pereira's a great player. He's one of the best players.
I'll tell Gemma you said that, no problems.
Yeah, cheers for that. So it'll be interesting to hear what Gemma says about West Brom and how she rates the chances. I wonder if she'll be as biased as me, but...
No. I think she'll be quite honest.
yeah, I mean, if Pereira was in the lead squad, I'd probably pick him. But being in the West Brom team, not for me. No, there's better options.
Interesting. I just find the dynamic really interesting that nobody thinks you'll go down. Literally nobody. I haven't come across anybody who thinks. And I think part of that is because many people think Fulham and West Brom will struggle. Plus, what I've said numerous times, the likes of Brighton, West Ham, going to improve. Newcastle, Palace are the two dodgy ones you don't really know. Everton, suddenly, if they get them players in the door, is fine. Southampton are going to improve. Like, it's not easy. The standard of these teams is slowly getting better and better generally.
Yeah, exactly. I say you think we'll finish 12th or 13th, but I'll take 17th happily.
Listen, first year in the Premier League is survive. Anything beyond that's great. And you've got to be careful a little bit with expectations, to be honest, because what Wolves and Sheffield United have done. I know there are Leeds fans listening to this now who are going, shut up, James, we will finish top half, we will show you. And you may well do so, but priority is get yourself safe. But I'm fascinated to watch you to see how these principles work out in the Premier League, because you will shock some people, I'm certain of it.
It would come at game week one, I'm sure of it. I think possession will be equal against the Liverpool game, in the Liverpool game.
You generally think 50-50?
Wow. Yeah, I do.
That's massive.
It is.
So you don't think there's a chance with... Essentially, we're saying White missing. If you're saying Cox going to be unavailable from last year's team. Rodrigo not integrated yet. We don't think he'll start. Is there no chance at all we just go, do you know what, fuck it, it's Liverpool opening day. We need to sit off here.
Bielsa won't change. It's nothing to lose. And he wants to show from game week one what Leeds are about. We've had a whole pre-season to get ready for this game. We're going to be at it, I think. And that's why I don't really like particularly the Liverpool attacking assets, because I don't see them scoring three or four that first game. I think it's going to be a tight affair. I think Liverpool probably will win. But a 2-1, 3-1 will give them a great game.
If you go there and press, it will be interesting what happens in the game, because Liverpool are the best team in this country at cutting out the midfield and getting it straight into the front three and working through people from
60,
there.
60-70 yard from
fascinating
Trent
to see how that works out.
Yeah.
I
still think we'll try and push the wing-backs back as well. I think we'll play Dallas and Alioski higher to try and force Robertson and Alexander-Arnold back. It's going to be fast. That for me is just fascinating to see. If Harrison's left, if he plays left wing, if he's left alone with Trent going forward, will Harrison track back? Perhaps, maybe not.
Trent is such a special case. Like, you really have to begin making plans for him. But it'd be amazing to see if you just go, because to be honest, I've said this with Son, let him go and worry about what he's going to do going the other way against you. How quick is Harrison?
Quick, yeah. Quick, energy.
Is he crapped?
Yeah. No, not crapped. Not crapped.
Just the rapid.
I will say as well, because we got another player from City, who's 4.5 million midfielder, Poveda.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get minutes, and he's in the same kind of mould as Foden. And if he gets minutes, if we have a couple of players out and he starts playing, watch out for the Poveda.
Look at this guy. He's got a 4.5 million midfielder in. He's the same mould of Foden and he only thinks 13th. I think he's lying, mate.
Yeah, I'm going to echo what James said there, like in terms of watching Leeds in the first few weeks. I think from an FPL point of view, the budget to mid players are the ones you want to try and get right early on and not mess around with, so you can get the right premiums in as well. And not having watched any of Leeds, I'm going to be keeping a real keen eye on the first two or three weeks, just on what the starting lineup is, who plays in what positions and what have you, so that if there is one or two that emerge as actually really good options, just get on. And I actually think that a lot of that may come from eye test more than it will from the stats and what have you, because you've got Liverpool and Man City. Sometimes it is hard to look into the stats in those kind of fixtures. But if you can see the likes of Dallas and Aiding really pushing forward or what have you, even if Rodrigo's getting minutes, then it might be a case of watch with your eyes and jump on whichever one or two emerge as the good ones.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to start with Dallas. I'm going to play him game week 2 and game week 3. I'll probably be having them as first sub against Liverpool.
I've been leaning all this week towards a Leeds defensive asset now. I don't think you've quite cleared it up for me. I want to do a bit more research on it. I suspect
it is hard to spot.
I suspect I'm now leaning towards Ayling, actually, just because I've got a little bit more long term planning in my thoughts. So I think I might lean that way. I can see me now going, yeah, double Liverpool, Ayling, Charlie Taylor. And then for me, I will want some cover for that game week one fixture, because I don't particularly want to play him at Anfield when I don't know what I'm about to watch. By the way, I'm so happy that the game is on the Saturday and I know I can enjoy it because it's before Tottenham play.
Nice.
So I'm really... it's by far the standout fixture of game week one. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be great to watch. Just a tactical Klopp v Bielsa.
Bielsa should be fun. Do you know if they've come up against each other before?
I don't believe so.
They probably haven't.
I don't know
that.
No, because he's been in Spain and France, hasn't he, Bielsa? So.
To be fair, you could get a cam just on them on the bench would probably be brilliant. I can't wait for it. It should be a cracker.
Hopefully Bielsa will bring his little box, little stool.
What, to Anfield? Maybe go and put it on the cup, mate. Andy, pleasure, mate. I wish you the best of luck for this season, mate.
Yep. Cheers, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Fantastic. Andy, thanks for joining us. For anybody that doesn't follow Andy already on Twitter, what are you doing? It's FPL_tactician, where you find him tweeting about anything to do with football and FPL and Leeds United. And if you've got any more questions around Leeds, which I'm sure plenty of people will have, that's exactly where you can go to ask his opinion. James, where are we heading to next?
Home.
We're going down to London to White Hart Lane for the next Correspondent Week podcast. So do stay tuned wherever you're listening to your podcast, whether it's SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify. If you hit the subscribe button, you'll get notified as soon as we go live. And if you are enjoying the Correspondent Week podcast, do jump over to Twitter, where you've got James at @PlanetFPLPod and all of the correspondents. Just let them know, because obviously they're doing it out of the goodness of their hearts and the love of FPL. So a little pat on the back goes a long way, doesn't it, James?
Yeah, no, they're doing great work.
Good stuff.
They've all got egos, though, so they like speaking. So
there we go. Most importantly, as always, at the moment, guys, stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, Andy. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Social Podcast Network.